starting the new parak, we're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We're on the very bottom, or toward the bottom, the new Mishnah, the new parak. Misha Meso Mutalafana. Person whose mace is in front of him. And it's brought down in the Beis Yosef, the sensitivity of the author of our Mishnah. Now, when it came to the saying of the Shema, the previous parak, it says, Hayikara, you are reading, you are doing it. But when it comes to a person who is experiencing a velus, we don't want to say, Hoya, that it happens to be that this is the case. Misha Hoya, Misha Meso, someone who happens to fall into this. Not that it's something which we would wish upon anyone. So, it says, Misha Meso Mutalafana. So a person has the mace literally in front of them. We're going to discuss this in the Gemara, whether it means literally in front or possibly it's...
Or that his burial is literally in front of these. Right. No name, and he has to bury them. You know, it's,
right.
It's,
so it's as though it's in front of him.
Right.
He has that...
Responsibility of Kvura are in front of him.
Right. So that's something which the Gemara is going to deal with. Right now, the simple meaning is it's the mace is literally in front of you, but that's not what we're going to end up holding when we get to the next Amud. So, Misha Meso Mutalafanov, it's coming to tell us this is specifically referring to someone who is in Avelus, someone who has those relatives in which a person would mourn over. So, that's the reading, the critical reading of this Mishnah, Misha Meso, that it happens to be your mace, which means it's your direct relative.
Right.
Because we're going to see the next few words is that such a person doesn't have to do specific mitzvos. So, therefore, it's not just someone who has opportunity to perform this mitzvah of burying someone or taking care of the tahara or whatever. It's only mishemeso mutalafana, someone who is a direct relative. So, says the Mishnah, Pater mekriyashma umin hatfila. Umin hatfil.
Would that include a mace mitzvah? There's somebody there, and you got to do it. So, this has to be. Does it have to be relative? A mace mitzvah is in case there's no relative.
So you
have the obligation.
Yeah, but you're not in a velus. You're not in a velus. Here, you're an ovel or an omen. But the question is, this is patul, but can you? You know, just like we learned before, you know, we said Rabbi Shmuel that he was able, when he was getting married, he was able to say Shema even though he was a chassan. So can you do it, though?
The last Tosfos, which we'll hopefully get to today, is going to address that question.
I think there's a totally different approach here.
Okay.
I think when you're dealing here with a mace, your mind is one that could be either for Sheva or for degrading Hashem. You don't know what your feeling is at a given moment. The kavana you're going to have can be detrimental to... If you were required to say Shema, you could have very, very negative...
No, not that you're required. I know you're not required, but can you? My question is, can you? If you mind either you're angry or you're okay with it, let's say okay with it. So can I say Shema if I want to? I know I don't have to, but I'm allowed to. Just like we dealt with the deal of a chassan, he shouldn't have to because his thing, whether his wife is a basul, all these daggers he has on his head, we said, but it's the way some of the people said
that. But that dagger is not related to Hashem.
So what is the this really?
No, there's a big difference. If the dagger is directed on something else, not related to Hashem, okay? So you can say, okay, you know something? My mind may not be totally on the kavana of Shema, but I may not be cursing Hashem for what may have been done.
I understand, but if you're not, if you that's not your mindset, if you're a God, say, this is God's will, and I accept God's will, and I'm, you know, we're here, and I'd like to say Shema, and I want to put on Tzom.
That's a very unique approach to when you have a Korah that's left there.
I know. But some of the big Rabbanim, like we discussed with Thing, they may be rise above it. They say, this is a God, they understand this is from Hashem, and I should still praise him. I should daven to him. Listen, I want to. Why can't you be allowed to? It does it because it's a patur amalasa or is a patur be
that's a question we'll get to.
Okay.
But Rashi disagrees with what you have to say.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the first or the last time. So we look at this. Rashi says, first Rashi in our parak, Mishimeso, Patim Malikros Kriyashma. You're Patr from reading the Shema. Says Rashi, why do you not have to say, why are you Patr, rather, from saying the Shema? Lafi Shutarud, that door is locked. You build it. Lafi Shara, Lafi Shutarud, thank you. But Machshavas Kibarasa. Because you're busy thinking about the burial. Have you dumia the chosen the potter misham tier to the mitzvah?
Right. Right.
So
I don't agree with Rashi.
I told you that you wouldn't agree to that, but nonetheless, that's how Rashi interprets the idea of being potter from Kriyat Shema, is that since you're torah the mitzvah, therefore that's the reason why, just like a chosen is torah, and he's preoccupied, and it's about a mitzvah.
So any time you're involved with the mitzvah, you're also going to be part of this group Kriyat Shema also.
I mean, there is the concept of osik
mitzvah.
That's right.
That's true. But the difference
but,
is...
But the question is, potter means that you don't have to. The whole thing we're talking about is, can you? Just like the thing is, nobody's saying that you have to. The thing is, you're potter from, you do not have to do it. But right. In case you want to, that's the whole
issue. When someone is an onen, are you allowed to do a mitzvah essay? You're not allowed to do a mitzvah los asay, but you are not required to do a mitzvah asay when you're an onen. True?
Say that again. When it comes to a mitzvah los asay, you're still not allowed to murder, right?
You cannot do a mitzvah los asay.
You can't violate a mitzvah los asay,
but you are not required, or your patur from any mitzvah asay.
That's what the Mishnah sounds like. That's right.
So?
It doesn't say
asay here.
That's an usher.
What do you mean?
If the guy wants to do it.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's the whole question. It's the same inyan as the chassan with Shema. That's, and based on the language of Rashi, he uses the same language.
And when it came to the chassan, as we learned last week, there may be an inyan not to do it, as we said, because right. It may look like a bal gaiva, maybe the same inyan. You're so haughty.
And this?
Maybe it's just, the way Rashi is reading it, it's the same thing.
Yeah, he used the same lashon.
It's possible. What do you mean? How could you be having kavana at this time when you're Torah and you're busy thinking and you're having all
lamenting
these
things? Somebody's dead, you know.
Yeah.
So, Rashi's not talking about lamentation. Rashi's talking about preparation for the burial.
Right. That's right. Because
that's why you're excused, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it.
Because the preparation for the burial, that itself is the mitzvah. For you to just feel down and upset or whatever, there's no mitzvah for you to feel that way. There's a mitzvah to go through certain halachos.
So you make the preparation for it. You call up a locher kedisha.
Right.
Please take care of the body, pick it up.
Exactly.
And what else are you doing now?
Nothing.
Not doing anything else.
You're until that action occurs. So that's the difference. Osik mitzvah means you're actually doing something. That's when you're potter. Here, you're not even doing anything, but you're torud b'mitzvah. So the chiddush is that even if you're not even doing an action, but since that hasn't taken place yet,
because
you're
your mind
focused.
Cannot accept it.
Can't accept what? The loss, the
that's
tragedy.
All
could be. I mean, it could be another way of reading it. It's clearly not how Rashi learns it, but it doesn't mean that's wrong.
When we
possible.
Say, Osei the mitzvah, potter the mitzvah.
Right.
That's only if you cannot do both of this. Both.
Oh, that's also
if you
true.
Can, you're not potter. Right. You're not potter.
Right. At the same time.
Okay. So, that's what the Mishnah begins saying over here. It says that you're potter from Kriyat Shema. Tefillah, tefillah, mikol mitzvah, samur,
smatorah. That makes no sense to me.
What makes no sense?
Why is he elaborating three different mitzvahs?
Okay.
And then and then he makes all mitzvahs of Torah.
This is a question actually Tosfos asked back on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, because you could say, we'll just say that your potter mikol mitzvah samuris petor. So the Tosfos asked this question, actually also talking about the idea of kvura that said a very similar language on Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Looking at the Gemara just for a second, the second line before it becomes medium-sized lines. It says Yudalad Mabez. Yeah, it says Yudalad Mabez. Yeah, the second to last line before it become medium-sized lines. It says Vasanya. What? Second to last line. Second line before. It's still a thin line. Hachofer Kuch Lameis Bekever Potter Mikriya Shema Minatfilin. Mikol mitzvah samuris b'torah. Same lashon, right, as the Mishnah there, and it's talking also about being involved in a burial. Right. Here you're actually involved in the burial, as opposed to over there where you're just thinking and you're making the preparations. So if you see the second and last Tosfos over here, which asks your question, mikol mitzvah samuris b'torah. Did anyone see that Tosfos? V'im tomer, you can say v'chi kriyashma lo havi b'chol mitzvah samuris b'torah. What does that mean? Why does it say Shema? And then it says all mitzvahs in the Torah. Isn't the Shema considered to be one of the mitzvahs in the Torah? So he says like this. He at least answers the question about Kriya Shema. We'll have to address the tefillah part and the tefillin part in a second. But at least the reason why it mentions the Shema separately, the Yishlomer, you can answer, says Tosfos, Dilotni Tani Behegya Kriya Shema. If it didn't mention the Shema, Avamina Didavka Hani Delayslahu Kviasman. Maybe you would think only things which do not have a set time. Those are the things. You're potter from it because next month you can do it anyway. You can still be Mekayim the mitzvah. Of a Kriyashma to Kvilhuzman, when it comes to the Shema which has a set time, and for that matter, I guess you could also say the Tefillah as well as Tefillin, they all have set times. Lo, Hoyel Vizman Oiver, since the time is going to pass. Maybe you would think, if it only said, Mikol mitzvah samuris b'torah, you would think only mitzvahs which are not time-sensitive. However, mitzvahs which are time-sensitive, maybe you still have to do kamash malan, and therefore it mentions these time-sensitive mitzvahs as well. That's how Tosfos answers the question. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that the tzad ha-shaveh between tefillah, tefillin, and kriyat shema is that you have to be concentrating on it? It can't be a hesach dot. You're supposed to be thinking about the tefillin all the time. That you're writing down. The Kriyat Shema requires a specific kavana.
Right.
And the tefillah, at least if you can't do it for the whole thing, at least for the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, you're really supposed to be intensely focusing.
Right.
Whereas something else, you know, you're sitting in the sukkah, you could be thinking.
But hula is though, right? Sitting in something you can't, you know.
But well, it says mikol mitzvot. That's a hosafa. That's a harpot. But the thing is that the first three that they mention are specifically things that require intense concentration, probably more so than almost anything else.
Okay, could be. That could be another answer to why it says these separately. Okay. Now, you'll notice that when it brings this down, when next to the words in the Mishnah, Uminatfilah, right before it, there's a bet in parentheses, which brings us to the Hagos Habach. The Hagos Habach, actually, if you see on the right side, over here, which is next to the Tosfos, which is just a little more to the right of it, it says Per Gimel in the middle of the Bach, and then it says the bet, and then it says Shom Mishnah Potter Mikriya Shema Uminatfilin. Interesting. According to the Bach, Tevas Uminatfilah, according to him, the words of Minatfila Nimchak, that's something which we erase or we delete from the critical text of the Gemara. That doesn't mean that the Bach holds that when it comes to Tefillah, you have to say the Tefillah, you have to daven if you're an Onin. No, you're Pukka from Tefillah too. But since out of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, which one is a bigger Chiddush that you're Pukka? Which one is a bigger Chiddush? Kriyat Shema. Why? Because Kriyat Shema is D'oraisa. Tefillah, the Rabbanon, right? Of course, there's a whole discussion about that. But because of that, the Bach feels it's not even necessary to mention the words Yemid Tefillah. What do you have to mention? What's the Chiddush?
Tefillah is not the Oraisa, it's the Rabbanon.
Right, so therefore he feels, why do you need to teach me that that it says Pater Mikrishman a Tefillah. Again, being sensitive to Tosa's question is that if it also already says Mikol Mitzvah Samur Spatora, so the fact that it's going to mention anything else and single it out, it, obviously it must be, those must be huge chidushim that you would maybe think Krishma is different. But why would you think Tefillah is different? It's not even Deraisa. So of course you're puffed from it. Therefore the Bach actually just takes it out of the critical reading of the Mishnah. We look in Tosis over here, we're going to see a couple of Tosis. And Tosis says, the first one, Mishmei Shemutu Lefanav. Tosis says, quoting Rashi, Rashi Garis Mishmei So Acher Tefillas HaShachar. Interesting that we're learning Perek Shlishi, but the reality is, according to, of course, Rashi has no choice but to read it the way it is. He comments on our Gemara, but the reality is that Rashi felt that it really should be that Misha Meso, this parak, should be after the parak of Tefillas HaShachar. And it doesn't, he doesn't discuss the reason for this, but you can maybe think about it, that Tefillas HaShachar discusses the Shemona Esrei, gets into the Zmanim of the Shemona Esrei, when can you daven, how do you daven, things of that nature. So therefore it makes sense that immediately after Kriya Shema, which was basically the parakim that we've been learning about, the first two parakim, go right into the next, Tefillas HaShachar, which talks about Shemona Esrei, almost being like some Chula Tefillah sort of thing. So that's how Rashi really felt was better. Of course, Rashi didn't win that battle as how each chapter should be placed. Therefore, we see Tosu says, Avol Nir Lari, Shehu Acher, Hayakara. The reason why Tefillas HaShachar is Perek Revi'i, is the fourth Perek, a very well-known parak of that, and Mish, and this parak of Misha Meso is placed over here, yeah, there's a reason for it. He says, Nir Lari, Shehu Acher Hayikara, it's after the second parak that we just saw, Da'ari B'Seifa Mekriya Shema, because the latter part of our Mishnah is discussing all other inyanim about Kriya Shema. For example, this person who is an Onain is Pater from Kriya Shema. And therefore, instead of jumping from Shema to the Shemona Esrei, and then going back to this parak, which talks about Kriya Shema, just continue. V'kan maskel nami mipater Kriya Shema. Yerushalmi goris kamokain. And Talmud Yerushalmi also feels that this is the proper order of parakim. We don't always find the that there's common out, that's 100% exactly common between the Talmud and Yerushalmi.
Good question. That's Tosfos. If somebody has a korah that's a mace Friday before Shabbos, and the korah cannot occur until Sunday morning,
right?
Yes.
Does he daven on Shabbos?
So the Gemara is going to deal with that. The Gemara is going to ask if you're an Onain
on Shabbos.
On Shabbos, what happens? Are you an Onain, like as you mentioned before, an Onain is, it doesn't perform certain mitzvahs. Does that also apply on Shabbos? The Gemara is going to say that no, you're still an Onain. You does not apply. You're not an Onain on Shabbos.
It's just like a Velus is not on Shabbos. It's no Velus on Shabbos.
Right, we're going to discuss the reason why that's so. So it's kind of unusual that you're an Onain and then you're not an Onain and then you become an Onain. It also depends. Part of the inyan of being an Onain is that you had the opportunity to do the kvura, to be osink in the kvura, but if
there's nothing you can do on Shabbos, there's no
right. Well, that's right. That's what we're going to end up seeing.
You're not tarred. Yeah,
you're not tarred. Right.
Then you can't do anything about it.
Right. You're not tarred the mitzvah. So it's only a day in which it's shayach for you to actually do the kvura is a day in which you can be considered to be an Onain. So on Shabbos, we'll see if maybe there's certain halachos of that apply on Shabbos, that just like during Shiva. Well, that's the Gemara is going to talk about that up here, but we'll get to that Mitzvah Shem shortly. But let's continue with this next Tosis. Tosis says, "Pater mikriya shma, Yerushalmi mafarish taima, Amar Rabbein Ksiv." It says very interesting reason. Why are you pater from kriya shma? So you didn't like the reason that Rashi said. Rashi said it's similar to the chosam, right? Because it's tiered to the mitzvah. very fascinating answer Tosfos gives as to why you're potter. He says, because the Pasuk says, which we say, of course, on the Pesach night, on the Haggadah, L'man tizkor, and we know the rest of that Pasuk, which concludes, Ad kol yimei chayecha. We end up learning from that Pasuk the obligation to recite the Kriya Shema both day and night, right? So, and also Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is what really it's talking about there. You should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, which in it is the Kriya Shema. So, therefore, assuming that they really go 100% hand in hand, which could be, therefore, what does the Pasuk say? Kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. And therefore, the Tosfos says, Yomim shata oisik b'chayim, only during the days in which you're osik in things which are chayim. V'lo yomim she'ata oisik b'mesim. It's a very interesting idea. Is therefore the only time you have an obligation to say the Shema, which in it is Yetzias Mitzrayim, is only kol yimei chayecha, the days in which you are focused on life. That's the only time you have a chiyuv. However, when you're not focused on chayecha, your life, because you're focused on someone else's passing, then that's the reason why, according to this other reason, why you're patur from Kriya Shema, why an onan does not perform that mitzvah. Okay, Halchi Garcina, let's conclude this Tosfos. He says, patur mikriya shema umin hatfila umin hatfilin. Okay, so you see that unlike the words of the Bach, Tosfos has the girsa of our Gemara, of our Mishnah. Right. Now, there's one other thing before we get into the next part of the Mishnah. It's interesting, it's a question that there's like numerous answers, that it's interesting, that assuming like the actual way it's written in our Mishnah, or Tosfos, that it says, you're pachter from Kriya Shema, Tefillin, Tefillin. The question is, why is it written in that particular order? Of course we know. Now, what do we first do? Do we first say the Shema? We say the Shema, so that's good. And then afterwards you say Tefillah, which is great. The problem is, what was the third thing?
We put Tefillin on before we die.
Right, you put on Tefillin first. So all the Mepharshim asked this question, that why, if it mentions these three lumped together, why do we mention Tefillin last? Right, you should mention Tefillin first. So
for this moment in time, that's why he's...
Okay. I don't know about that. Could be. Nice try. A little stretch. But he says like this. There's a few answers that I'll share with you. Some of them you may care for. Some of them, whatever. The Eishlomar, so you can possibly answer. The reason for this is Lafisha Tefillin Menachem Alav Achli Achar Tefillah. So one answer is that it's true. We wear a tefillin before, but the focus is not when you start putting them on, but rather it's the fact that they continue staying on even after the Shemona Esrei. So it's true that tefillin are on before, so maybe the tefillin should say tefillin, Shema, and tefillah, but according to this answer, but tefillin are on afterwards. People wear the tefillin all day, so therefore that mitzvah continues thereafter, after those other two, and therefore it's mentioned last. Or Mishum de Kriya Shema Tefila Tadiri De Shabbos Alayel Lazman Tefillin. Tosfos Yomtov says, based on the concept of Tadir Mishenu Tadir, so you mention the things which are more common, and therefore Shema and Tefila happen
7 days a week.
7 days a week. Tefillin, so not every day. Right, so that's why the Tosfos Yomtov says, that's why it's mentioned last. Right, so there are different reasons. That's what the Tosfos Yomtov says. And furthermore, you can say, Kivan de'ikr ha-masechet osik atol b'kriya shema nakat kriya shema kodem. He says, even though the truth is, it makes more sense to put tefillin first, but so far, all we've been discussing up until this point is kriya shema. So therefore, since we've been discussing about kriya shema, similar to the way we read Tosfos, therefore it mentions tefillin thereafter, right? First mentions this, then, okay. One last answer. The Rashba says, and this is where we get into halach over here. It says the reason why it mentions that you're pukta from tefillin last is because the agav achrina naka tefillin. The truth is, we didn't really need to mention tefillin at all. Because what is it talking about? It says, Mi shemeso mutal afanav, which means, after the kfura, are you pukta from the Shema?
No.
Are you pukta from Shemona Esrei? No. Are you pukta from tefillin?
Tefillin?
Tefillin.
Well, if it's at night, then you may...
It's the day. It's that day. That first day, while you're at Onin, person passed away,
well,
and you did the kfura that day. Do you put on the tefillin that day? So the answer is you don't. You're potter.
If it's a fast day, and you say you put on tefillin at mincha?
What, Tisha B'Av or something? You still don't.
I
don't wear tefillin on the first day.
The day that my father was buried,
yes,
I was told, put your tefillin on after the kfura and say Shema.
The bracha was on
the... It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
When
I heard that. Some people,
I think it could be a
Chassidish
Melech, I don't know.
Some people,
okay.
I've heard that, some people.
It also could have, how much time elapsed between the Patira and the Kura, between the passing.
It was 6 hours.
Okay. But, yeah. Oh, fine. So what you said, it could be a Minhag. All right,
it could be a Chassidish
Melech. Okay, it could be. But according to what this particular, these Minhagim, that even after the kfura, we don't wear tefillin. That day, you don't put on the tefillin.
And the reason for that?
Is because the Gemara, it's a pasuk by Yecheskel, it says that when it comes to Yecheskel, he was instructed to wear tefillin. He was supposed to wear tefillin. The Gemara implies that since only Yecheskel was told to wear tefillin, it must be that any other onen on that day does not wear tefillin. That's how it's derived. And there's different explanations that they're wearing. A person who has afar on their head, which is one of the minhagim, to put tefillin on such a place is not covered for tefillin. So anyway, so that's that part of the Mishnah. All right, let's move on. Fine. Notice that it's one other piece which we'll discuss, but let's go further in the Mishnah. Now, Noyse Amita, those who are actually the pallbearers, the one who's carrying the mace, the mita. The Chalafehen, those who exchange, so it's a second shift. The Chalafehen, those who assist thereafter. So there's a couple ways of reading this Mishnah. We'll read it according to Rashi first. Tosos has a different spin on it. So let's read it as Rashi. Eshalithne Amita in the Gemara, the Mishnah. Eshalithne Hamita and Eshalach Hamita. There's two different types of people. Those who are Lithne Hamita, which means...
The front of the...
That's what it sounds like. Lithne
right.
Hamita...
Before the casket.
Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, Shalithne Hamita and Shalach Hamita? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're physically in front of it or behind it. But says Rashi, Shalifne Hamita, and she is askubo, that you are involved in it, kishitagia hamita etzlam, when the mita reaches you, which means you have not yet carried the casket. Shalachar mita doesn't mean that you're behind it, it means shinasahu kfar, that you already performed the act of being a pallbearer. So that's what it means, shalifne hamita. Shalifne Amita means you're in front of it, which it could mean literally in front of it, means because it's coming closer to you, and then finally when it's passed to you, you perform this mitzvah of being a pallbearer. So Shalifne Amita, in this not such literal context, means you have not yet fulfilled a mitzvah. Shalachar Amita means, again, if you can visualize that the casket, this is the aura is being moved from here to there, and there are people...
According to Rashi, they're passing along, like there's a line of people, and they're just moving it along on a conveyor belt.
Right, yeah, so if you look at it that way, so that's what Lifnei and Achar Mita means. Lifnei Mita means I'm in front of it, which means I haven't gotten to it yet. Shalachar Mita means you already performed.
Did anybody ever see that at a funeral? Was that stuff?
Among the Muslims.
Okay, a Buddha, yeah. But I mean, I've never seen that at any funeral, have you?
I mean, in this particular situation, it's each person wants to be osik in this mitzvah.
Person is all right. Normally, they put the dirt on the thing. But I've never seen a person where they.
I've seen where they'll stop, they'll put the casket down.
Right.
And then somebody else, other people come and pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Walk a little bit, place it down.
You can imagine if there's thousands of people at the Slavayan, everyone wants to participate. So Shalithne Amitha Shalachamita. Okay. So Eshalithne Amitha says the Mishnah, those who are in front of the Mitha, which means they have not yet performed, even according to that, even that category, there's another subcategory. Sarach Bahem, if they are needed, Peturim. Then they're potter from the mitzvahs, as we mentioned before. That's the answer. The only reason why you'll be potter if you have not yet performed the mitzvah is only if srichim, if tsarach behem, if you are needed. If you're not needed, then you might as well do the mitzvah.
No, but when is the funeral taking place? At the crack of dawn? I mean, normally funerals are not first thing in the morning. I mean, they're normally, why couldn't these people have the time to daven? And it's not that they have to be Torah, that there's a whole big thing. Okay, you're moving the thing along. Not trying to be disrespectful, but I mean, a mace is one thing, a family member, okay, he's Torah, but these people are just participating in the ceremony. Why should they not have to daven? How long is this thing going on that they don't have the time? They have 3 hours to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, putting tefillin on and everything else like that. And it really doesn't make sense.
Why can't they also be preoccupied with that individual?
So any mourner is preoccupied. So you see, that's first. Anybody, you go to a funeral, anybody who mourns doesn't have to, but that's not the way they were. We're talking about a person who's the seven krovim. These other people aren't shaykh to the seven krovim.
But these people who are the palmers,
are not krovim.
Right, they're not the krovim.
What I'm saying is, none of us should really be krovim.
Are they telling mates?
Aren't we all?
We're all tummy mates.
They're even closer to.
They certainly cannot say, even if they are alluding to say the Shema, they cannot do so in the direct presence of the mace. As we'll see, it's called Logal Rush. They're embarrassing the mace. So, that for sure. But they can certainly walk away if they're not even needed, their presence is not necessary for the ceremony to continue. So then they can just go over there and say the Shema, just move away a little bit, and that would be good. So, but that's what it's saying, Peturim. Again, you have to define, what does it mean, Patur? Does it mean you can't say it?
Right.
Or does it mean you don't have to? Okay. Veshel Achar Hamita. So again, when it comes to if you haven't yet performed the mitzvah, then the only time you're Patur is if you are needed. Sarka. Says the Mishnah, Veshel Achar Mita, let's say you are in the back, which means that you already
did the mitzvah. Of course you should do it then. So,
but it depends. Sarach behen chayav. Same as above, sarach behen chayav. If you are still needed to do it again, then you're a chayav. So therefore, basically, and that's the end of that part of the Mishnah. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if you're lifnei mita or achmita. It doesn't matter if you've done the mitzvah before or not. The whole criteria, according to this reading of this Mishnah, is are you needed? Are you needed again, or are you needed at all? If you're needed at all, or again, then you are potur. If you are not needed, then you're chayav. Now, Tosus doesn't agree to this. If you look at Tosus over here, Tosus says, let's just read the next. Let's finish up this part of this Mishnah. Next five words: ve'elu peturin min tefila. But everyone holds that you are potter from Shemot Esrei, from tefila. No matter who you are, all those categories: lifnei amita, achamita, needed, not needed. You're potter from tefila. And tefila, as Tosus is going to say, does not have the same weight as Krishma. So let's look at Tosus. Tosus says, "Hachi goris Rashi." Shel achar mita, that according to the way we read the Gemara was the way that Rashi read this Mishnah, that shel achar hamita, that if you are achar hamita, which means you already performed the mitzvah, afilu hamita sricha behen chayav. If, even if you are needed
again,
then you are chayiv, then you are obligated. Exactly. So I actually, the way I read it, it was a little bit wrong. So again, up until this point, what Rashi, the way of reading the Rashi is that if you already performed the mitzvah, it doesn't make a difference, even if you're still needed.
Again, you've already done, you considered you've did the mitzvah and you're chayav to do all these things.
Exactly. And that's, before we continue in Tosos, let's jump into the Rashi. I'm going all over the place here, I apologize. You see a Rashi which says, Ushula achar hamita, and you already performed the mitzvah. Af im tsarech behem, even though you're needed, chayavim, you still have to say the Shema, hoil shkvar yotzi yedei chavasim min hameis. You already fulfilled your obligation. The chiyav, interesting language, is to be somewhat involved in the process of the ceremony. And once you did it, you did it. We need you again. Okay, but we need you again, but you've already fulfilled this mitzvah.
Your mind is not encompassing, I have to do this mitzvah. I already did the mitzvah.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And the question is, even if you're fulfilling a mitzvah, once you fulfill a mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah. So it's you're not osik b'mitzvah,
right.
So you're going through the same motions as the other guy, but the other guy didn't do it yet. So therefore, according to Rashi, that's how he reads it. So if you already performed the mitzvah of carrying, so it doesn't make a difference. You're always chayav in the Shema. Shemon Esrei, you're potter, but the Shema, you're chayav. However, if you didn't do it yet, if you're lifnei hamita, then it depends if you're needed or not.
Okay.
That's Rashi.
Is the mitzvah completed if you're still needed to do something?
Now the person who is just accompanying the mace, who is not the one who has the obligation to see to it that there's
the
kura.
The same that you still, there's a tzorach for you.
We need your help, because the cemetery is far away. We need your strength. You're a strong guy. So come back.
So then, from the time that he did his thing, he goes to his Kriya Shema and comes back and does it? Or does he wait until he finishes the whole mitzvah and then goes and does it?
That's going to be... It probably depends on if you think you have enough time to say the Shema before you will be asked to help again. Because that's what... It's going to be similar to the last part of our Mishnah. That if you have an obligation to say the Shema, you have to be able to figure out if you can say it before another obligation occurs. Another part of the ceremony occurs. So let's go back to Tosis. So now that we, maybe, at least I understand the Rashi a little bit better, now let's go into Tosis. Tosis says, Hachigoras Rashi, Shri'achar Mita, Afil Hamita Sricha Behem. He says, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you're needed, again, Chayovim, you still are Ali in the Shema. Afishil Olam, Lohoyu Agilim, Latzes, Shikfar Nasu Chelkam. Since you already carried your chelek, you did your part, and therefore no longer right. So therefore, you're now chayev to perform the mitzvah of the Shema. That's how Rashi reads it. Tosus does not read this at all in that way. But Tema Ksas says, I don't really understand this. Haloshon, I don't really understand the language of this Mishnah the way it's being read. He says, "My k'omar afilu sricha behem." What does it mean? It says, "Even if you are
going to be needed again,
even if you're needed again, right?" That I don't really understand. Even if you're needed, right? But hello, after all, lo haya nosin klal es hames. In the event that we're talking about the person who is lifnei hamita, you haven't done the mitzvah yet at all. Therefore, he feels that, which is not really so clear that this is the language of our Mishnah, but nonetheless, because of this, Tosus has a different girsa completely. And he reads like this, L'kach nira k'girsas hasfarim. This is how I read the Mishnah. Shalifne hamita, shalach hamita, eshamita srich lahem, Paturin, Ein Srich Lahem, Lahem Chayav. So I originally read the Mishnah according to Tosus. Tosus says it makes no difference if you perform the mitzvah or not. Don't care. That's not what's important.
If you need it.
If you need it. If you're needed, then you're Potter. If you're not needed, you're Chayav. You already performed it. He doesn't care. That doesn't matter. It all is totally on are you needed.
The need.
The need. So if you have the, if you're needed, then you are
Potter.
Then you're Potter. Okay. That's how
if you're not needed, then you're Potter.
If you're not needed, if you're not
if you're needed, you're Potter.
Right. Yeah. If you're gonna be even if you did something and you're gonna be needed again, you're Potter. But as a difference Rashi right. says, no, if you did something already, that's your finish. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. We'll see the next Tosus. Elu ve'elu paturin min tefil. However, when it comes to the Shemona Esrei, it doesn't make a difference. You're going to be putter from davening Shemona Esrei. But it only says tefil. Says Tosus. Al v'krishma v'tefilin shehem mideraisa. Again, this is going back in our minds to the Bach, which takes out the word tefilin above, tefil above. That the reason why it says that you're putter from tefila is only tefila. The Rabbana. But Kriyashma and Tefillin you still have to do. Because they're midiraisa. Chayav, therefore you have to do so. But Reisha, the first part of our Mishnah, the Amar that said, Mishimeisa mutulafana of the Potter min Kriyashma, min a Tefillin, interesting how he writes it, he doesn't write Tefillah, he says, Kol shekein the Potter min ha Tefillah. Right? So it's interesting the way that Tosos is, you read that Tosos similar to the Bach, takes out from our first line the words min tefila because it's koshik and poshik.
So one Tosfos puts it in, another Tosfos takes it out.
This Tosfos clearly holds like the reading of the Bach that it's taken out,
and two above that puts it in.
Hachi Garcina and Patim Kriyashim and min tefila. Right, it's just kind of awkward, but
considering it's in the same daf.
It's the same, yes,
but they're different
Balitosis, presumably. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably how you have to understand it. Okay, so let's see the rest of this Mishnah, that I'm going to address one question, and then call it a day. The Mishnah then continues and says, actually, before we get into the Mishnah, let's see this next Rashi, which seems to be the same thing as Tosfos. Ve'el paturin min tefila, the lav deraisa he. Right, you see the Rashi. It's not this. It's not deraisa. Rabbi Seinu perishul the rabbi. There's a different explanation. It's not the reason why your chayiv or your potter is because it's deraisa the rabbanon. Well, what's the difference if it's deraisa the rabbanon? So if you're potter, then you should be potter. You're potter. If you're chayiv, then you're chayiv. What's the difference between rabbanon deraisa? So the next answer of Rashi does not distinguish between the Rabbanan and the Raisa. Rabbi Seinu Perishu, my rabbis, interpreted the reason why your potter from Tefillah lefi sheyesh lehem od shos, because you have more time. Because when it comes to Kriyat Shema, you only have until the third hour of the day. When it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei, which is really your question, what are you doing over here? How long are you doing this procedure? So since the tefillah, you have longer in the day, and therefore, because of that, your patur, no, it says, el patur min tefillah, right? You don't have to say that the Shemona Esrei. Lefi sheheim, sheish lehem od shos, which means that you can patur. Well, let me finish the next line of Rashi, why he doesn't understand this. V'lin nira she'en zeh loshen patur. It says you're patur from the Shemona Esrei. What does it mean you're patur from Shemona Esrei? So the way he's interpreting it is, not that you're patur, it means don't do it now, do it later, because you have more time. Rashi says, what are you talking about? That's not what patur means. Patur means you don't have to do it at all. So therefore, that's why he doesn't really like that interpretation. He sticks kind of what Tosa says, that you're putter completely because it's not deraisa. Okay, let's move on in our Mishnah. Mishnah says, cover some ace. So you finish that procedure, the kfura took place. Now, let's say, which was our question, that you have a chiyuv to say the Shema. Now, The problem is that you're also part of this ceremony. And what should you do? So he says, V'chazru, people are coming back. And they're about to make the rose. To be menachem those who are in avelos. So he says like this, if you're able to finish it up, before they get there, for you to be menachem avel, then begin. But if not, then you should not begin. So you have to be able to figure out whether or not you should, right, whether or not you have time. And the Rashi says, the shuras, shayman, menachmen es avel, they would be menachem avel in this way. Behekev shura, svi voisav, they would make rows around. Beshuvim in a cavern, when they would go back after the kvura, which is our minhag nowadays also, that we make two rows, and that's the time which we're menachem avel for the first time. So the Mishnah then concludes, because there's no Rashi on this, it says, Oimnim Beshura, those who are standing in a row, it depends on what level you are on. Are you in the nosebleed seats that you can't even see so well? You're in the back? Are you in the outside? Or are you close to the person who's walking through, the person who's in the veils? So he says, Hapanimin Paturin, Vachitsoinim Chayom. Interesting. Those who are in the inside are Pater. Because those are the ones that are really being menachem the avel, because everyone else is saying it, but you can't. You're so far back. The chitzayim, those who are in the back on the outside, or chayiv and kriyat shema. And you see in the parentheses, this mishnah says noshim avonim gatanim b'tzurim mina kriyat shema mina tefillin the chayovin b'tfil mezuzah or berachas hamazon. But it's in parentheses, which means generally we don't read it. And if you look in the asterisk on the left, it says Mishnah Lekaman Chacham Ra'al. This is really a Mishnah, which we're going to see later on. So it's really not, doesn't even belong.
Over here.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
but
he says
We couple them all together, but they happen to be Potter, yes,
since
as
when,
we know.
Since when is being Menachem Avol? That you need to be docha mitzvah zase, like Kriyashma. You can be menachem. You can be menachem the avol for 7 days.
No, but they're talking the menachem avol the shuras.
So you do the shuras. So what?
No, you don't do the shuras. Do it right at the burial. You can't do it again.
I understand that, but if you have another mitzvah that's time related, like Kriyashma, why would that thing be more docha than that?
Can't do the shura in the
time. Shmai
could say.
Shura is a derabbanan kind of concept. It's not a deraisa concept.
Nonetheless, it pushes it off.
Nechum avelim is deraisa, right?
Nechum, it's.
I mean, we learn it from the Chumash. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Menachem Avol Yitzchak.
Avram.
Okay.
But
that doesn't. Because you're looking at it as like, it doesn't make sense because you just do it and it's a 3 minute thing, finish.
If you're involved with the Asiya the Kvura.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. That is a mitzvah asay, Kvura.
Right. But it's the same thing as the people that are the pallbearers. Those people are anyone who's involved in the ceremony. And the shuros are part of the ceremony.
But here you already differentiated between people of Midnim and Chitzonim.
Right. Because if you're in the Chitzonim, apparently you're not really part of the... It's almost like you're not needed for the shura.
And then so then you know something? If you have the Kriyat Shema, then you could become a Chitzoni and let the Chitzoni become a guy closer in. And then he's a Kriyat Shema.
Let's say no one said the Shema. No one did. No one said it. So you're either going to be in the front or you're going to be in the back.
I'm not understanding this whole priority, this prioritization of what's going on here.
I think it shows the fact that even if it's not one of your relatives, but the fact that you're part of this, you know, this whole ceremony, maybe it moves an individual but to a point that you also there's a level of
The initial kind we're talking about is only that the seven close relatives are the ones who are going to be punched.
Right.
Now here you're dealing with a whole cloud of people.
But that, over there it's only kol mitzvah some respiratory apart from everything. And the question is, when it says putter, does it mean you're not allowed to do it, or maybe just don't have to? Here we're talking about you're putter from kriyashma. Doesn't mean you're putter from everything. You're putter from shma, shmona esrei, but doesn't mean everything. Shma, you're putter from kriyashma.
So then my only explanation you can potentially do is that you're not going to have the right mindset to say kriyashma from that whole process. From the death till after Menachem Avot. And since there may be something interfering with your right kavana, it's not to be said.
It could be that, and it could also be that if you're part of the ceremony, and that you're needed to be part of the ceremony, and we say, oh, by the way, you have to say the Shema at some point, so that may take away from the whole procedure. You may be like, all right, let's get going over here. Let's move already, because I have to say the Shema afterwards. We say any person who's part of this process, we have such sensitivity to the person who is in the velos that just lost someone, that we don't want anyone to have to worry about a mitzvah which will pass in a few moments. Just don't worry about it, because we want you being part of this process. So therefore, you're putter. What do you mean you're putter, but it's doing 2 minutes and finish, and then...
I think what the whole situation is we're not relating to what Kvura occurred like then as compared to now.
Well, what's the difference?
When somebody was nifter,
right,
in a little village,
yeah,
1,500 years ago, mm-hmm, they were carried by people on their shoulders to the burial site.
Right.
And then buried. Here we have our hearse, and the whole town would go into the Kvura. Would just be a million of people going at the Kevah site. Okay? I think there's a whole sociological change that occurred during this period of time, which we're now relating to.
It's more brutal.
What?
It's more brutal.
It's much more brutal.
Sure. The way it was.
Sure.
Or is it the way it is in Israel now?
So, yeah. Well,
Tishrei's the Leviathan.